How much of an adjustment has it been for you and the coaching staff to deal with this kind of new world of trainers?
Well, I'm used to it from my 2 years in Cleveland. You know, coming off the lockout year, we didn't have much of a training camp, of course. And then I think the league was still trying to decide what the actual rules were. Last year was the first year with this new CBA where the rules were pretty concrete about you can be on the field 4 hours, it can only be twice. One of them can be in pads, the other one can't. So I'm used to that process, and I think I've been able to help Chip with some of the insight as to how to try to plan the day accordingly.
You had Bradford his first year, right?
Right.
And then Whedon last year. Was there anything that you learned from those situations when you've got a quarterback situation that maybe isn't so stable? I mean, it's set up to be, but they're not, like, returning starters. I mean, is there anything you're trying to figure out who your guy is going to be that you learned from?
No, I think when you led the question with the two rookies, and I think what's important about rookies are, and the same could be said about Matt Barkley, who's our rookie, is you've seen them do some tremendous things in college. You know, you've seen them be good decision makers. You've seen them be very accurate. You've seen them lead their teams to many, many victories. And you've seen them do it in college. So now what's important is that they get here, absorb as much as they can, and show us that they can do it at this level. And I think that's the key. And so whether a guy becomes a starter quickly or it takes him half a year in Donovan's case, or a full year in some other quarterback situations, how much can they absorb? How quickly can they get up and running in your system? And then go out and play winning football, and I think that's what we're looking for.
What is the importance of pace and tempo in running this offense?
Well, I think it's one of the principles that make it successful. And I think as time has gone on, you've seen that, you know, increased pace, high tempo type offense kind of work up into the NFL. And, you know, it's a lot of what we do, and so I think it's very important.
Who have you watched in terms of the no huddle that's been run around the league? New England obviously comes to mind. That you have sort of taken some of the principles from?
Well, I think, you know, the primary, you know, inspiration for our offense, of course, is Coach Kelly, you know, and so that's pretty much what we've been looking at. And then around the league, you've seen teams that have done it to some degree, haven't totally committed to it, but have done it to some degree. And so we've, you know, we looked at the New England game, of course, just to see how it fits in our league. We watch a little bit of, I guess, what Denver has done, you know, just basically no huddle operations. And again, not so much for the plays, but what we're looking at is how teams will react to it more than what they were doing specifically on offense.
How much is your hope that the defense will remain in base packages and won't be allowed to get too complex in terms of substitutions and changes of the defense?
Well, some think that's one of the benefits of playing with pace, and so we'll just have to see. There's a lot of very smart defensive coaches in this league, and I'm sure they're having meetings on how to try to deal with it. So we'll have to see. But that is one of the benefits, if, you know, depending on what the situation is or how it gets created. If you're playing with pace and you don't substitute, then you know, the defense will have a hard time, we hope, getting new people on the field.
Do you react quite often to what you're looking at? I mean, if they're in a nickel, you're going to run.
Yeah.
If they're in a base, you're going to throw more.
Well, we'll try to, you know, you try not to react to the defense. We try to, you know, we try to be the first one to the ball. So we'll see.
So you're trying to dictate matchup through pace?
No question. I think that's one principle of playing with pace, is being able to do that. Those are good words, Sal.
Dictate matchup through pace?
Yeah.
That'll work on your show.
I got it from Jaws. Well, you know, the whole concept of our show, or what Jaws has always taught me, is matchups dictate. But Kelly's basic principle is that pace
It can. I mean, there's, you know, and there's other things that we're going to do offensively. That's just one component of it.
Personnel, obviously, is a big thing too, right? The tight ends and, right. and the different.
Yeah, that kind of leads into his, you know, matchups deal for sure.
From the time the quarterback gets to the line of scrimmage to the time the ball is snapped, what's your optimum amount of seconds that you want to expire? 2 to 3?
No, I don't think time is, we don't time it that way. You know, we can get a general feel for how quickly we're playing.
How about from whistle to snap, how much time do you want to expire?
It varies depending on what we're doing. But we'd like to, you know, when we're playing fast, we'd like to play fast. You know, and then a few seconds.
The quarterback in this offense need to get the ball out quicker than he did in Andy's?
No, I think a lot of the pass principles are very similar.
Yeah.
Very similar. You know, in no offense do you want to be standing back there holding the ball.
Right.
I think that's fair to say.
There
are a lot of West Coast principles. There's a lot of teams that have run the 3-digit concept. You know, it's a blend of a lot of things, but you know, it's hard to talk about it in one sentence or less. But there's curl, flat, and 4 verticals in everybody's offense. You know, that's the way it works.
How much has Barkley improved since he's just walked onto campus?
Yeah, you know, being a rookie, you see guys improve quicker because they're doing it for the first time. But I think he had an outstanding spring. I think he showed an ability to learn what we do quickly, which is important, and then be able to put it into practice out here in our training sessions. And then watching him this first 2 days, it appears to me that you know, he just seems to be throwing the ball with a little bit more authority, and a lot of that comes with knowing who you're throwing the ball to, and then being comfortable with the progressions that you're asked to run.
So when people are talking about the quarterbacks, a lot of people are talking about arm strength, how much that goes into it. How much do you put into arm strength, and can a quarterback make up for that in other aspects of the game?
Well, I think arm strength's important, but I think it falls in line with, let's just say this, if you're not a good decision maker and you can't throw the ball accurately, arm strength means very little. So you obviously want, I think it's fair to say you always want guys that can throw the ball and be able to throw the ball very far. But you also, they can't play quarterback unless they can throw it accurately. And I think that's more important.
You spent a lot of years with Andy, and I mean, he firmly believed that you have to pass to win in this league. And his quarterbacks would throw the ball 40, 45 times. He was not apologetic at all. He felt he had to do it. Is Chip a little bit more middle of the road guy? I mean, if you compare as far as his approach to offense, the run and the pass.
I don't know that. I will say this about Andy. I think, you know, Andy believed in doing what you have to do to win football games. And some of that has to do with what you're good at on offense, what you believe in. You know, I can't speak to the criticism outside the building of whether he should have run the ball more or not. I won't do that. But I think we all will try to do what we have to do to win football games. And there will be games when it means throw more than you run. If the game plays out right and you get ahead by a lot of points early in the game, then typically you might run the ball a little bit more in the second half. And I've always kind of looked at it by halves, really, when you look at the run-pass ratio. And really, you'd like to get ahead of a team. And then when you're ahead of a team, by no means do you take your foot off the gas. But that allows you then to control the clock a little bit more by running the football in the second half. And then I think it's very... I guess it's standard operating procedure. Then once the game is over, you look at the statistics, I'm sure, by how they played out over the total game.
Andy had a practice yesterday, supposedly. It was like a couple hours, and there were no run plays.
Right. So did we. Yeah, because, you know,
it's right?
we never ran the ball yesterday either. So I think when the rookie, I think he still has his rookies – And with the rookies, you don't have, you know, he may not have a full complement of offensive players, so I don't know. But you typically focus more on the pass when you got the rookies in. Because with the rookies and the selected vets, then you have the quarterbacks. So it's a way for them to kind of get a jump start on their progression.
What progression have you seen from Nick Foles just in the last couple months?
I could probably speak about Nick Foles in the same